Good to see our young brother reading the scripture. That's encouraging. And if I can get a hold of him in a few years, he'll be up here preaching. Good to see everyone this morning. Good to be able to come together and sing and pray and study God's word together. Remember our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. And it's great to be with my brethren this morning. In the scripture reading that we just had there in Psalm 31, the psalmist writes that those who love the Lord need to be strong. I want to talk about spiritual strength this morning to encourage us in our daily lives. We discussed some in our Bible class this morning out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, how that Paul was talking about Satan hindering us. Satan is our adversary. He's our roadblock along the way to heaven. He's our stumbling block, our adversary to throw up something in the way to cause us to stumble. And we need to be strong. This morning I want us to consider some admonitions along those lines. And I want to begin this morning by asking a few questions that deal with what is important to us, what is our priority, what do we want most for ourselves and for our family and those around us. A few questions I'd like to begin with this morning. Number one, do you want this local church to exist to help others who come to town? Do you want there to be a local congregation where people can come and get help, where they can get the gospel, where they can be saved, where they can get encouragement? Do you want Moorfield Boulevard to be a local congregation that is a place where people can come? Maybe someone you would like to invite, someone that you would like to help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, I don't think Corinth would be one of those local congregations that would be at the top of my list to have someone come visit. Paul says that there were many there who were weak and sickly, and not a few sleep, talking about spiritual weakness, spiritual sickness, spiritual lethargy. They had problems. They were divided. They had other problems at that congregation. Do you want this congregation to exist to help others? Let's bring it a little bit closer to home. Do you want your family to be saved all the way to the end? Do you want them to go from becoming a Christian all the way through their life to stand in judgment and go to heaven? Do you want them to be right with God all the way to the end of their life? Do you want that for your spouse and for your children? I think we all want that. My parents have more than one child that has left the faith, and that must hurt them. If we have that in our life, in our situation, that can be very painful. But do we want our family to be saved all the way to the end? Paul talks about those who fall away in Galatians 4 and verse 9 as going back to the weak and beggarly rudiments, going back to things that show weakness rather than strength, going back to the old law and other things. Let's bring it even closer to home, to our own personal lives. Do you want to defend yourself from the devil in times of temptation? Here you are at work, you're at school, some other place, and the devil throws a temptation in your way. Do you want to be able to say no to that? In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, was there in the garden with Peter, James, and John. And he says, "Watch and pray that you be led not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is," what? "Weak." So weakness would lead someone to temptation. So watch and pray. We want a local congregation to exist. We want our family to be saved. We want to defend ourselves in times of temptation. And if you answered yes to any or all of these questions, then we're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be strong spiritually in each of these situations. And I know that this is what you want. This is what I want for my family. And so let's study this morning about being strong in the Lord. Where does strength come from? To be strong spiritually, to be able to say no to the devil, where does that come from? In times of temptation, to be able to say no, where does that come from? To live all the way through our life and be faithful all the way to the end, where does that come from? And to be a congregation that is united and built upon the Word of God, where we can exist in Clarksville to help others. Where does that come from? Well, I would suggest to you this morning that it doesn't come from a large membership. It doesn't come from the numbers or a size or a membership where there are wealthy, influential members among the membership, well-known businessmen in the community or large numbers, anything like that. Doesn't come from that. Although there's nothing wrong with having individuals among the membership who are important in the community. I think about Erastus, the city treasurer, who was a member of the church at Corinth. He's a pretty important fellow. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not where strength is at. Neither is it in a large contribution or extensive budgets where we have all kinds of money and we can all kinds of programs that we can provide for. It's not found there. And strength is not found in the number of ministries and programs that we have. Sometimes people think, well, an active congregation, a strong congregation, I want a list of all the programs. And what do they have for the youth? And what kinds of things do they have planned for this group and for that group? That doesn't necessarily cause strength. Is strength found in active youth groups? Our young need to be active, not only in serving the Lord, but doing things with each other. Certainly nothing wrong with that, but that's not where strength is found. And maybe closer to home with us, we want to be a New Testament church. And so going back and having the worship just like it was in the New Testament, and the work and the worship and the organization of the New Testament church, if we're like that and we have Church of Christ on the sign, then we're going to be a strong church. The problem with that is I read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about seven churches. They were all New Testament churches, and a lot of them had problems. You can be a New Testament church and have problems. Laodicea was a New Testament church. Sardis was a New Testament church and so forth, and they had problems. So I want to go back and be a New Testament church. That alone is not where strength is found. So this morning, brethren, I want us to consider some passages of Scripture that tell us how we can be strong. And we want to be that New Testament congregation that exists for others. And we want our family to go to heaven. And we want ourselves to say no to temptation. What is it going to take? Well, first of all, it's going to take a very firm grasp of the Word of God. People who know God and God's Word are people who are strong. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. When Paul and others are traveling, they're beginning their second preaching trip from Antioch. They're preaching the Word of God. They're also delivering the decision that was made in Acts 15 not to burden the Gentiles with extra kinds of things in the law of Moses. And we find in Acts 16 and verse 4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered them the decrees. By the way, that word decree is the Greek word dogma. Somebody says, well, you shouldn't be dogmatic. This was a dogmatic decree. It was a statement that this is the way the Gentiles are to live. So there's nothing wrong per se with being dogmatic, but we hear that today. Don't be dogmatic. It was a decree. It was a dogma. It was a written statement of truth. And as they delivered those things to keep, which was ordained of the apostles and elders that were Jerusalem, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. If you back up to Acts chapter 15, verses 30, 31, 32, as they went on their way, they preached the gospel. Verse 35, preaching the word of the Lord. So preaching and delivering these decrees, what happened? Verse 5, the churches were strengthened. As the word of God was preached among them, the churches were strengthened. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I asked Daniel if we could sing to soldiers of Christ, arise and put on the whole armor of God. We've got to have a strong knowledge of the Word of God if we're going to be strong each day. And that's why I'm glad to hear about our daily Bible reading. And I would encourage as many of us to do that as possible. It's not just reading for reading's sake. It's not just to say, to be able to raise my hand when the Bible class teacher asks for daily Bible reading. It's for strength. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Notice that it comes from God. We're relying upon God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our foe is very formidable. We go up against a very strong adversary, the devil, but we can resist him. What is it going to take? Put it on the whole armor of God, and we're going to see that each armor, each piece of the armor relates to the Word of God. Verse 13, wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth. There's the Word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which comes from the Word of God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's the Word of God. With all taking up the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's the Word of God. With all that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, which comes from the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with all prayer. You get the point, don't you? The more of God's Word we know and digest and put into our life, the stronger we are to stand up to the devil and say no. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. As our knowledge increases in the Word of God, so our strength increases. Paul writes in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. And then in verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then he says in verse 11, strengthened with all power. When we are increasing in the will of God and increasing in the knowledge of God, the very next thing that follows is strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. That's why our Bible classes are important. And that's why daily Bible reading is important. And reading and meditating on the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. God's Word read and meditated and studied upon will strengthen us, brethren and friends. We can stand. We can take a stand and say no. And whether it's individually with temptation, whether it's with our family or the congregation as a whole, it's going to make us strong. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because you know Him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the Word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the evil one. Somebody says, well, young people can't do that. Young people have to give in. Young people have to be worldly. No, you don't. Why? Because you are strong and the Word of God abideth in you. So I'd suggest, first of all, this morning, the importance of God's Word. In the second place, what is going to make us strong is faith. A belief in God, a conviction that God is and that the Bible is the Word of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. You look at Abraham when he was called to leave his homeland, and then he's called to sacrifice his child, and he's called to believe that he can have a child in his old age. Abraham had to grow strong, and that was because he had faith in God. He saw God working in his life. He realized that God is true, and he relied upon God. And as he did that, he grew stronger as time went on. When Abraham left in Genesis chapter 12, there were things down the road that he had to be stronger about, specifically with regard to offering up his son Isaac. And so we find in Romans 4:20, yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed or grew strong through faith. When God tells us something and we do that and we believe in that and we practice that, we grow strong. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. When it came time for Abraham to offer up his son, he did that. When it came time for Abraham to leave his country, he did that. He grew stronger as time went along. And as our faith in God grows, our strength grows. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. God wants to give us power, the power to say no. We hear today, well, I just had to give in. We hear today, I just couldn't help myself. The devil made me do it. God is giving us power. But we have to access that. We have to access that in the Word of God. We have to access that in our own faith. How does that work itself out? Well, turn with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with all power through His Spirit in the inward man. Now, is that some better felt than told experience? Is that some warm inner feeling? No, keep reading. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, what does that do, Paul? What does that give us? To the end that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How, Paul, verse 16 and 17, when our inward man is strengthened, when Christ dwells in us through faith, we have strength. And look at verse 17, rooted and grounded. When something is rooted, have you ever tried to pull up something with a really good root system? You tug on that, it's strong, isn't it? So our feet are planted on the Word of God. We're growing up from that and we're rooted and grounded. We have to have a strong faith. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. As our faith is strong and we are active, we find that working and active faith go together, and that's what causes strength. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. Work of faith. When we're working, when we're active, we're strong. I've known of cases in the local congregation where brethren are weak and causing problems. And I go check the board and I find out, well, they weren't signing up for this. They weren't signing up for that. They weren't busy doing this. They weren't busy doing that. And it's just natural that those two go together. When we're not active, we're not strong. Every work of faith with power. A strong faith makes us strong. In the third place, strength is found in being a genuine Christian. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul wanted to be a genuine Christian. Ask ourselves, why are we here this morning? Really, why are we really here? Why do we read our Bible? Why do we do a lot of things that we do? Is it because we're authentic and genuine? Or are we just simply going through the motions? When Paul became a Christian, he relates his conversion in Philippians chapter 3, and one of the things he says is he wants to have the righteousness, verse 9, which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death. I just want to be like Christ. And look at the phrase in verse 10, the power of His resurrection. What does that mean? I want to know the power of His resurrection. When Jesus was resurrected, He was resurrected to a new life. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6, that when we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. The power of His resurrection is the power of experiencing a new life as a Christian. I want to know Him, not know about Him, but know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Look at that. I want to join in with Christ's sufferings. I want to be right in there with Christ. I don't want to be a bench warmer, a pew warmer. I don't want to be a Christian in name only. I don't just simply want to go to a building. I want to be like Christ. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. There are those who hold the form of godliness, but they've denied the power thereof. What does that mean? There are those who hold the form of godliness, this outward appearance of being godly. I go to a church building 3 times a week. I get my Bible class lesson filled out. But at other times, I may not be the Christian I need to be. In Titus, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. Paul is talking about all of these wicked people who cause these grievous or terrible times, and some of them are holding a form of godliness, but have denied the power thereof. It's just a shell of Christianity. I come, but I really don't enjoy being in the assembly. I open up my song book, I open up my Bible, I fill out my Bible class lesson. But it's not genuine. And so when it comes time to say no to the devil, I can't do that. I don't have the power. But there is power in being a genuine Christian. I'm not just going to hold a form of godliness. I'm going to be a Christian through and through. In every situation in life. And whenever I enter into acts of worship, my heart is going to be in that. I'm giving my all. Sometimes I've heard parents say, well, I took my children to services all their life. I don't know why they've left the faith, or I don't know why they never became a Christian. I took them to services all their life. I always took them. We don't just want to take our children. We don't just want to come and sit in a pew, but we want to be genuine through and through. We want to make it meaningful and real. We can have an outward form, but we have denied the power thereof. There's a power in being a genuine Christian, but we don't have that when we're just superficial. When it comes crunch time to have that ability to say no, it's not there. But when we're genuine, it'll be there. And there's a power of being a genuine Christian. I would suggest to you also this morning that strength is found in unity. Turn with me to a well-known passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Working together to be unified. Young people, I'm going to encourage you to go home and ask your mom for some thread. Try this. It really does work. Go home this afternoon, ask your mom for some thread. And take a piece of thread, just wrap it around your fingers, one piece of thread, and you can pull it apart. Then take 3 pieces of thread, the exact piece, and twist them together real hard. And then pull on it, you can't do it. That little piece of thread that you were able to bust and break easily, you're not going to be able to do it when a threefold cord is not easily broken. Go home and ask your dad for some rope and look at that rope. You'll notice that it's made up of little strands that are twisted together. And what that is strength in being unified and being bound together. Solomon is talking about being there for others to pick them up. Verse 10, Ecclesiastes 4:10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth and hath not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone? If a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Unity. So go home this afternoon and try it. Get a piece of thread. You can just pull it right apart. Get 3 pieces of thread. Make sure you twist it together and then try to pull it. It's not going to come apart. You say, oh, I can break a piece of thread. Well, 3 of them twisted together, it's going to be kind of hard. Unity. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Being bound together with one another in our families and in the local congregation will keep us strong. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. What makes a strong congregation? Unity. Unity on the Word of God, unity in practice, unity in belief, unity in doctrine, unity in helping one another, loving one another, being mindful of each other's needs. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 1, "Therefore the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Look at that word, bond. Join together, and that's where your strength is coming. "Forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, where we see another bond. What makes a strong unity? Be united in your marriage. Be united with your children. Be united in the local congregation. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, backing up to verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let peace, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body." Unity. And that bond is going to hold us together. A threefold cord is not easily broken. We hear today about the fragmented family. We hear about fragmented marriages and things like that. We cannot stand on our own, but we can stand together. And so unity is what brings strength. I would also suggest, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16, that maturity provides strength. Paul says, be a man. Act like a man. Be strong. And so maturity, growing up and being mature, provides strength. Corinth needed that. They needed a lot of help, and Paul, at the close of the letter, gives them some solutions to all of the division and other problems they were having there. And he says, watch, stand fast in the faith, quit, the old English word, act like or behave like men, be strong. But then that raises the question, what does it mean to be mature? What does that mean? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We talk about that a lot, that we need to grow and mature and be mature Christians. Have you ever thought about what does that mean? We don't mean chronological maturity where each year we get older. How do we mature spiritually? Well, Hebrews 6 is the answer. We move past the basics. We get the basics down. We get that accomplished. We get that mastered, and then we go on to something else. We're not always on the basics. When we become a Christian, we might have to work, for example, on our attendance. But after a while, we've got that mastered. That's not what we have to work on anymore. We're just always going to be at services. Or reading our Bible, or whatever it is, those basic kinds of things that I need to be doing. But we move past that. But when we never move past that, then we never mature and we're not strong. We've been in the church many years and the elders are still asking us about our attendance, you know. We've been in the church many years and the elders are still asking us about, you know, why we're not following God's word. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Wherefore, leaving, we've got to move past some things. There are some things that are just basic to being a Christian. Not in this context, it's basic Bible doctrines, but it would also include basic practices, such as our attendance. "Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on to perfection." The New American Standard says maturity. How do we mature, brethren? By leaving the basics and adding to that and getting past that and growing. Not laying again a foundation. And here are some of the basics. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That's a basic thing, faith. So how do we grow? We move past the basics. At some point in our life, we've got attendance conquered, and we're always here. At some point in our life, we've got other things conquered and mastered that we're supposed to be doing as a Christian, and now we're looking to grow from there. When Paul says, act like men, grow up, be strong, how do we get to that point? We move past the basics and we learn more, we grow more. We don't always have the elders coming to us on just basic kinds of things. Volunteering at services. Volunteering to teach. Volunteering to do other kinds of things. If you back up to chapter 5 and verse 11, there's a time when we should be teachers. That's just one of the basics. And so, whatever it is in your life or mine, we need to leave some things. Leave some basic things. And then Hebrews 6 and verse 1, not laying again a foundation. We're not just going to camp out on the basics. We're going to mature. And when we mature, then we're going to be strong. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to James chapter 1. Strength is found in focus. We need to be single-minded, focused each day on serving God, and we will be completely strong regardless of what comes out throughout the day. But if our mind is divided, and sometimes we're thinking about self and we want to do what self wants or what the devil wants, then there really is no hope. You familiar with the phrase, divide and conquer? If we're divided, then we're going to be conquered. And so James talks about this person who is unstable and this person who's tossed around. What's his problem? He's double-minded. If any of you lacketh wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him that ask in faith, ask in faith, nothing doubting. Faith does not have doubt. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. That's not strong. Someone who's constantly driven around, that's not strong. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What's he going to do in temptation? I don't know what he's going to do this time. Where does this congregation stand? I don't know where they stand. Tossed around, don't know where they're at. We have to be single-minded. The context here is the person who asks God something, but he doesn't really believe he's going to get it, and so there's that conflict there. That's not asking in faith. I don't really know if God's going to grant this or not. I don't really know if there is a God. I don't know if he hears prayer. I don't know if he can give me this. And James says that that person is going to be tossed around and he's going to be unstable. Well, that's not strength. So we've got to have single-minded focus. Turn with me to Matthew 6 and 22. Jesus says, if your eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. If your eye is not single, your body will be full of darkness. Single, what does that mean? Focused on serving God only. We're not going to give a little piece of the pie for me or the world or the devil. But every day I get up, it is God only. Turn with me to Acts 2:46. I love this word that is used in Acts 2:46. In Acts 2:46, the new Christians on the day of Pentecost, it said that they took their food with gladness, listen, and singleness of heart. The Greek word there literally means without rocks. A field without rocks. A pathway without rocks. That's what that word means. In other words, you could just walk along. And it's easy going. You don't have to step over rocks and step around rocks and twist your ankle where there's obstacles and problems. It's just an unobstructed way. And so it was translated singleness. That's pretty neat. Now, what rocks do you have to get out of your life or out of my life to help free up some things where we can be single-minded again? What rocks rocks do you have to get out? What rocks do I have to get out? Where we can just walk along each day and there's no problem. But you keep the rocks there and we're going to be stumbling. Singleness, where we can just focus gladness and singleness of heart. Just focus on serving Christ. Their lives were unobstructed. Their lives were unobstructed by the things that would hinder them from serving the Lord. What is it in your life and mine that we need to remove? Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, the servant, the employee, serving Christ with singleness of heart. When we're single-minded, not double-minded, when we're single-minded, we're going to be strong. But a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you answered yes to those questions at the beginning, which I believe all of you did, that's certainly what I want. We want a strong congregation in this community for others to come to and come in from the world and be helped by God's Word. We want our families to be saved all the way to the end. We want to be able to resist temptation when it comes up. These are the kinds of things that we need in our life. We need the Word of God. So are you reading, really reading and studying and obeying the Word of God? When we put on the whole armor of God, we're going to be strong. We're going to be strong when God's Word is in our life. Not just on a surface in order to get the Bible class lesson. Not just at the last minute to fulfill some sort of a class obligation. But each day, personally, reading and meditating and learning and gaining strength. We'll be strong. We'll be strong when we're strengthened in the inward man. You know, our outward man is decaying. Why do I have reading glasses? Why do I need some light? Our bodies are decaying, but we should be getting stronger on the inside every day. And our young people can be strong. We are concerned about our young people in the world that we live in today, but we can be strong on the inside with a strong faith. Are you authentic? Why are we here this morning? Well, I kind of have to be here. My mom and dad want me to be here. I really don't want to be here. I'd rather be somewhere else. Or my spouse wants me to be here or something like that. No, we need to be genuine. We really want to be a Christian. We don't want to be someone who has just simply the form of godliness and we've denied the power that's there. But we want the power. We want to be genuinely a Christian. And so when I'm here, when I'm serving, when I'm doing things I need to be doing, it's because I am authentic. Let's be that threefold cord that is not easily broken. We're going to stand behind the elders. We're going to work together. We're going to be bound together. We're going to be unified in our work and in our worship and in our love for one another. Call upon me if you need anything. Let us work together. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And be unified in your families, in your marriages, in your families. And that's what makes us strong. Talk about the things that are going on in the world and how that we can resist those things. Talk about those things with your children. Talk about the behavior that is acceptable and unacceptable. Be united in that. Communicate. We might have to turn something off to get more of God's Word and communicate. We might have to put a piece of technology down. But it'll make us stronger. Talk about those things that you're having problems with your parents and with your spouse. And be strong together. And let's move past the basics. We've got a new year coming up, Lord willing. What can we do next year that we weren't doing this year? We can't just camp out on the basics. Not laying again a foundation. We're not just going to keep doing those basic things. I'm going to grow and move past that. And that's what's going to make me strong. And then finally, I'm going to be single-minded in my service to God. And that's probably one of the hardest things. But we need a life without rocks. And whatever that rock is, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, misplaced priorities, we've got to remove the rocks and just have a single-minded service to Christ. One thing that even in the family, Sherry and I in our family, we all have things to do and hobbies and different types of things and school activities and things like that, we might need to take a few things off the list from time to time. It's just getting too cluttered. Take a few things off the list and get back to single-minded service. And that'll make us strong. Well, the lesson is yours. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Show some strength this morning if you need to come obeying the gospel, repenting and being baptized into Christ, or if you need to come back as an erring child of God, we would encourage you to do that. Now's the time. Now's the invitation. We've encouraged you to do that. It's going to take some strength. It's going to take some strength to stand up, walk forward if you need to do that. But you can be strong. But as we go throughout this week, it's not in large numbers. It's not in the way the building looks or the size of the building or anything like that. It's in these things that God tells us. And we can go out and we can be strong and we can say no to the devil. That's the admonition this morning. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?